First, it's Food Friday. Winter is still with us in Wisconsin, and one of the best comfort foods during the cold weather is a hearty bowl of soup. Lori Skelton is with us for a look at what makes a great winter soup. We'll learn how to make some traditional Czech and Moroccan soups along the way. And we want to hear about your favorites at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to soup recipe, especially during the winter? Do you put your own spin on any cold weather classics? What questions do you have about making soup? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find some recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lori Skelton is a classical music host at WPR and an in-house foodie here. Lori, welcome back.
So how much time do we have?
Yeah, we could take forever on soup, right?
Good Lord, yes. When I put this up on my own personal Facebook post, yes, I'm trying a few ways to make winter soups a little more interesting. Anybody got any ideas? I got inundated. And I got inundated with everything from Iraqi bean soup to a lentil puree that dates from the Middle Ages.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody's got a favorite. Everybody's got something they gravitate to, especially at this time of year. There is something comforting about the process of making soup. The idea that I've got something gently simmering on the stove just makes you feel like you're taking care of your home, you're taking care of yourself. And especially for me, the more like onions and garlic and things, yeah, I definitely know I'm taking care of my health, mostly because my coworkers will stay a good 20 feet away from me after I've had a bowl of garlic soup.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that is the lovely thing about soup. Everybody has their favorite, and yet when you gave me this assignment, my initial thought was, oh, come on, what don't we already know about soup? And I actually had surprises putting some of these recipes together, which was delightful to know that you can still be surprised by something as basic as a soup.
Right. Well, I think that's the great thing about soup is you can take it in so many directions. And like a lot of times I'll start making soup, I don't know what kind of soup it's going to be. Like I'll start frying up carrots and onions and garlic. And then along the way, oh, I've got some leftover pulled chicken in the fridge, or leftover this veggie. Oh, hey, here's a thing of squash I froze back in the fall. You can throw in lots of stuff and make it up along the way.
And you bring up a good point of the idea that there's something about soup that takes everything, all the bits and bobs in the kitchen, and puts it all together. And if you're a really smart cook, you'll have bags in the freezer, one for bones if you're a meat eater, and always one for vegetable scraps, so that you can always, if not sit down and make a from scratch stock, have a little something extra to add to the pot.
Yeah, you're a big fan of making your own stock. I'll do a halfway thing. Like I'll save my old pasta water. I'll boil down the rotisserie chicken remnants to get a start on a stock, but then I'll still use there's those glops you can buy like bouillon, but better than, if
yes,
I can give away the brand name I go to. There are others.
Hey, I've got a jar of that in my refrigerator as well. That said, if you can get yourself on the track to save scraps and then sit down once a month and make a stock, it really does make a difference. There are a couple of things you need to keep in mind, but once you've got that in your kitchen repertoire, you can kind of put yourself on autopilot. When you're making a stock, especially a vegetable stock, you want things with savory flavors, but not so strong that they're going to overpower everything. You brought up the classic onion, carrot, celery. It's called a mirepoix, and that's how a lot of soups throughout Europe get started. In Asian countries, the version is often garlic, scallion, and ginger that gets sautéed to get started. If you're going to be adding things like bell peppers or mushrooms to your stock, those are vegetables that benefit from either being roasted ahead of time or very, very lightly sautéed. again, if you've got the time to roast vegetables beforehand, before throwing into the pot with water, that is going to make a really great stock.
And something I've experimented with, I'll roast cauliflower in advance, or I've done this a couple times lately and I love it, onions and garlic I roast in the oven, if I have time. Mm-hmm. I roast in the oven first with olive oil, salt, and pepper, and that just brings out a whole nother flavor.
Now, let me ask you this. With roasted cauliflower, are you adding that to stock, or are you just pureeing that immediately to make a creamy cauliflower soup?
I'm adding that to the soup as it's going. Yes, okay. There's still chunks.
Okay, because if you're working on a vegetable stock rather than a soup, if you're working on something that is going to be bubbling very, very slowly for a couple of hours on your stove to make a stock, brassicas, broccoli, cauliflower, collard greens, kohlrabi, bok choy, turnips, cabbage will end up turning bitter.
Yeah.
If you have vegetable stock already made, you can take brassicas and add them to your finished soup maybe 20 minutes before you're done.
That's what I do, yeah.
But you do need to be careful. Not every vegetable is going to make a great stock. You'd think potatoes, you know, don't we all love a good potato soup? You'd think potatoes would be a natural for stock. Potatoes don't add a lot of flavor. They're going to add some body, but they're also going to make that stock cloudy. Potato peels, a few is nice. It'll add an earthy texture. But again, potatoes, things like zucchini, even some green beans, you boil them for a long time, they're going to get bitter. So you do need to be careful. Not every vegetable can go into a stock. Every vegetable can go into a soup.
Right.
But give yourself a little bit of care when making that stock.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about soup with our own Lori Skelton. And Lori, let's get to one of your recipes. You brought in a harira soup. This is a traditional Moroccan soup. It's got the lentils, the chickpeas, and other stuff. Tell us about this one.
This was a surprise. It's come up. The most recent version I found was in the recent version of Cooks Illustrated. What I found is that harira is a North African soup. It's very often eaten during Ramadan to break your fast at the end of the day. And there are as many versions of this as there are cooks. It's kind of like the Moroccan version of chicken soup. You can use fava beans in addition to or instead of the chickpeas and lentils. You can use rice in it instead of pasta. Apparently, the original version was using lamb and lamb broth, but the version that I was working off of started with the idea, we want to make this easy, we're going to make it vegetarian. And of course, if you're using rice instead of pasta, that will even make it vegan. Some cooks in Africa will thicken the soup with some beaten egg. Some people will actually add hard-boiled eggs as garnish when they're serving it. I made a couple of different versions of this, and there was one morning that I had the soup for breakfast, and I poached an egg in the soup.
Wow.
It was amazing. And this is the recipe that we have online, right? And so we have olive oil, onion, celery ribs. This soup calls for Swiss chard leaves to be put in at the end, and I thought, yes, the leaves are lovely, but those stems chopped up with the celery made another great base for the soup. Fresh ginger, although you can use ground. I put a suggestion if you want to. There's coriander in there, smoked paprika, cumin, ground cinnamon. Great warm spice. Yeah, we normally think of cinnamon as something sweet for dessert, but cinnamon adds a great depth to a lot of savory dishes. Red pepper flakes. It uses a fair amount of fresh cilantro and fresh parsley, this particular recipe. If you don't like cilantro, there are other greens that you can use. And again, add them at the end so the soup doesn't get bitter.
One of the lessons I've learned there, I've wasted in the past a lot of great fresh green herbs by putting them in way too early, and then they get killed,
and or they'll just get limp and gray.
Yeah.
And there isn't a, you do have to eat with your eyes. There is something about that aesthetic as well. One of the lovely things about the version of harira that I've got online is that it uses brown lentils, which cook up very quickly without needing to be soaked ahead of time, and it uses canned chickpeas, which got everybody on 7th floor talking. Do you use canned peas or beans when you're making a soup, or is it worth the trouble to get the dried variety, soak them overnight, and then use those beans as well? I will be honest, I haven't decided, is one way better than the other? It seems to be kind of in terms of what is the recipe calling for, but I will bet you if we turn that question over to anyone listening, everybody's got his or her own preferred method of using a dried bean or legume in a soup.
Again, you can find that recipe for Herrera soup on WPR.org/Food Friday or the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lori Skelton is with us for Food Friday. We're talking about hearty winter soups. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your number one favorite soup to cook and or eat during the winter? What advice do you have for aspiring soup makers? If you make heartier soups with beans or chickpeas, do you, to get to Lori's question, do you use dried beans or go with canned beans? I'm lazy and I don't plan. I do canned beans usually. What questions do you have about making a great comforting soup? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post and again find some recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. WPR's own Lori Skelton is with us for Food Friday. We are making soup today. And we could take your tips and questions at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorite soup for the cold weather. What kind of spices and seasonings you always keep on hand for soup? Do you need questions or do you have some advice of your own? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'll go to your calls now. Cheryl is with us in Conover. Cheryl, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Cheryl?
Well, first of all, the first rule of soup is never throw anything away that can be boiled down to make a broth.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two is my favorite one is a Southwest chicken soup where I cook chicken and I shred it, and it's corn and black beans and pinto beans and Rotel tomatoes and regular tomatoes. And it's all based on a base from the turkey carcass from Thanksgiving. So, being raised by a grandmother, and I'm 65 now, and a grandmother, you do not throw those away.
No.
You cook them until you get the broth, and then you can freeze it for up to a year as a soup starter.
Ah,
fantastic,
so,
Cheryl.
I have two freezers full of soup starter.
I've got one question. When you're actually putting the soup together, when you're getting down to your beans, at the finish, I don't think you'd put this in your starter, but at your finished soup, do you ever put any kind of acid in, like a lime juice or a little bit of vinegar?
You know, that's a good question, because I've been starting to play with balsamic vinegar lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I do the broth is just plain with bay leaves, and then I strain it and put it in the freezer.
Nice.
Okay. This is something that surprised me when I was making the Herrera. Fairly spicy soup, and yet the last thing it calls for is a couple of tablespoons of lemon juice. Now, I tasted the soup before I added the lemon juice and thought, you know, I'm not really getting the heat from the smoked paprika and the pepper flakes. I added the lemon juice, and suddenly the soup just sang. I've come to the conclusion, especially when you're working with beans or lentils or legumes of any sort, that you're gonna need a little bit of acid to bring out all the flavors that come in that soup.
Cheryl, thanks a lot for that call. I came to the same discovery not that long ago. I'd had soup at my favorite Mediterranean restaurant back in Michigan, and it was very lemony. I found a recipe online that, yeah, you juice half a lemon and add that right at the end. And the before and after was, like you say, it was incredible.
And I was asking a lot of people, is this something that you sort of do? And then one of the people on 7th Floor Vilas, one of the people who works in the background here at Wisconsin Public Radio, said, well, now that you mention it, my dad always puts dill pickle juice on his black beans.
Oh, okay.
So apparently there is something about the starch that really seems to call for a little bit of acid. So if you're making a soup, especially if it has beans or chickpeas or lentils in it, and you're thinking it's tasting a little bland, don't necessarily go for more salt and pepper. Try some acid first.
Let's go to another caller now. Jake is with us in Milwaukee. Jake, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
What do you want to tell us about Jake?
Well, after marrying my wife, and she was a pescatarian, I had to change a lot of the way I did things.
So hold on. That's a vegetarian who also eats fish. Do I have that right, Jake?
That is correct.
Okay. Go for it.
Trying a whole bunch of food, trying to our hands at a whole bunch of foods from around the world, especially soups. My secret ingredient that I can add to just about any clear broth soup and have it add a layer that we really like is oregano.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to share with anybody who doesn't know, there is a tomato bouillon that is out there in most grocery stores that adds a somewhat tangy stock, if you're pressed for time, that we all really enjoy.
And Jake, let me ask you about how you use the oregano. Are you going dried or fresh or both?
Dried. I add that near the beginning, and it lends its flavor to the entire broth. Although at the end, we do end up like putting fresh parsley and fresh cilantro in a lot of our soups. But for the oregano, I like it at the beginning.
And you're finding oregano is a really good pair with fish soups.
Fish soups, bean soups, just about anything with a clear broth.
Okay.
Jake, thanks a lot. That's the opposite of the rule I learned with fresh herbs, right? If you're using the dried herbs, get them in there earlier.
Very often they are going to need a little bit more heat and agitation to come up to their full flavor, yes.
Jake, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Lori Skelton, it's Food Friday. We're cooking soup. And Lori, another recipe that you have up, another experiment you brought in for us, a traditional Czech soup. I had legumes and dried, this kind of surprised me a little bit, dried fruit in it.
This comes from the wonderful book from the State Historical Society, The Flavor of Wisconsin, An Informal History of Food and Eating in the Badger State. Fruited bean soup. This recipe was submitted from a woman in Kenosha who said that her mother grew her own pinto beans. This was one of the family's favorite winter soups. Could not be simpler. Cup of dried pinto beans, cup of dried prunes, a cup of dried apples or pears, a cup of potato in 1-inch cubes, salt, and then you make a roux with butter and flour and water. I'm looking at this thinking, well, you can tell our pioneer forebears were really of hearty stock because this has got to be so bland tasting. Oh boy, was I wrong. Oh boy. And now here's one instance where dried beans made a difference because this did need to simmer for a couple of hours. And it was just the beans simmering even after they had been soaking overnight. Hour and a half of simmering beans, you start throwing in the prunes, the dried apples, and suddenly you've got this amazing thick broth. The prunes were not too sweet. The apples brought this lovely texture to everything. You've got comforting cubes of potato and beans. And all it needed was salt. It didn't need anything else. I was absolutely blown away by how simple and how good this was. So I guess our Czech forebears, well, somebody's Czech forebears really knew what they were doing.
Now, I was at a training that day, so I missed this soup. And I'll say, Lori, I've thrown a lot of things into soups before. I don't think I have ever once thought to reach for dried fruit. I think raisins with lentils, but not in a soup. But this works.
This worked brilliantly. I was expecting everybody to take a polite bite or two and then say, yeah, interesting experiment. But no, that pot was gone in an hour. And somebody on the Central Time or the Ideas Network Facebook page sent us a link to Ina Garten's curried butternut squash soup recipe where she garnishes it with scallions, shredded coconut, chopped cashews, and diced banana.
Sounds like a great Sunday except for the soup.
So fruit is not an an odd option, especially if you want to bring out something sweeter. Throw in a little bit of apple or pear and see what happens.
I want to bring on another caller. Mary is on the line in Alma. Mary, hi.
Hi. Well, I'm up to my elbows making chicken and dumplings, and my question is, every time I roast a chicken or boil a chicken in a pot, and then I want to make a chicken stock, it always gels. I was wondering if there's a secret to try to get chicken stock that's like chicken stock in a box that's liquid and not gels after you've put it in the refrigerator.
After you've put it in the refrigerator and you've tried skimming it?
Yes.
Okay. You're getting into Culinary Institute of America territory that I frankly have not mastered. This is where you will have to clarify a soup by putting in another kind of protein. Egg whites sometimes work, or sometimes a little bit of chopped raw meat. It's called a raft. And what you do is you gently boil that cloudy stock with whipped egg whites or raw meat sitting on top of the stock, and it acts as a filter to clear that stock up. The CIA's standard is you should be able to read the date on a dime at the bottom of your stock pot when you're done. That said, it's not something that I can do at will. I've tried it. I've been successful half the time. This is one thing you should Google. I know there are videos online about how to clarify a stock using a raft of another protein. It's going to take some practice, but boy, if you can manage that, you are literally cooking with gas. It's great to have that skill.
Good luck, Mary. I'm going to live with a gel myself. Lori, do you have just really briefly a next soup you want to try to make now?
The next soup I'm going to be making, since I don't have to worry next week about standing in a chorus of 150 people as I'm going to be doing tonight, I'm going to be going back to garlic soups, especially things with saffron and a little bit of tomato. I am trying to ward off a cold, and alliums are the way to go.
Lori, thanks as always. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and an in-house foodie. She was with us to talk on Food Friday about soup. You can find a couple of the recipes she shared at WPR.org/Food Friday, or head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got soup suggestions there from Whitney, Kathleen, and Chris as well. And you can share your favorite recipes. Hey, send us a picture of a soup you have just made.